obviously, we've been talking a lot about Tomahawk missiles. And Zelensky has said, you know, this is what we need. This is what we need. This is what we need. That's going to change the dynamic. Just like they were, the Europeans and the United States have been talking about sanctions are going to change Russia. Zelensky's saying, no, it's going to be those Tomahawk. That's going to get it done. Here's how he put it a few days ago.
Лінія фронту може бути початком дипломатії. Натомість Росія знову робить все, щоб зіскочити з дипломатії. І як тільки питання далекобійності для нас, для України стало трохи далі, то майже автоматично Росія стала вже менш зацікавленою у дипломатії. Це сигнал, що саме це питання, питання далекобійності, дає, можливо, незамінний ключ до миру. Чим більше української далекобійності, тим більше і російська готовність закінчити війну. Зараз тижні, які це знову підтвердили, дискусія про томагавки виявилась сильною інвестицією в дипломатію. Ми змусили Росію показати, що томагавки – це саме та карта, на яку вони зважають.
See, he fell into the trap. I actually set this up a few days back. I said that somebody would do this. Turned out it was that somebody was Volodymyr Zelensky. When I said that somebody's going to say, oh, it was the threat of Tomahawks that caused Putin to come to the meeting. Because remember, after Trump got on the phone call for 2.5 hours with Putin, then he said, hey, we're going to have a ministerial meeting possibly next week. And then we're going to have this other meeting with me and President Putin in Hungary and maybe even with Zelensky. We're going to bring this war to an end. Zelensky calculated the only reason they were willing to do that is because of the threat of Tomahawk missiles. So cool. Let me have those long range missiles. I'm sorry, Mr. President, what was that about Tomahawks?
Well, the problem with the Tomahawk that a lot of people don't know, it'll take a minimum of 6 months, usually a year, to learn how to use them. They're highly complex. So the only way a Tomahawk is going to be shot is if we shot it, and we're not going to do that. And we know how to use it, and we're not going to be teaching other people. It'll be, it's too far out into the future.
So, yeah, you're not going to get the Tomahawks. Or are you? Because I mentioned today, just hours ago, in Europe, Zelensky was talking about that, and the issue came back up with Tomahawks, and people going, yeah, but Trump just said that, yeah, we're not going to do that. And he danced around it a little bit, but basically said, and with some justification, can I just say, that used to be the case with the previous administration. Biden kept saying, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give you that. We're only going to do this. And then some number of months, 5 months, 7 months, 8 months, a year, sometimes then they end up getting it, whether it was tanks, whether it was long range fires, the F-16s. I mean, you name it, everything that they asked for early and then ended up not getting. Then later on, they got. Now, of course, as I was pointing out from the very inception, they were never going to make a difference on the battlefield because individual weapon systems is just background noise in this. It's all about the balance of power between the two sides at the national level, who has the capacity to wage war. And that means all of it together, industrial capacity, finances, national will, and manpower. Those are the real things that have everything to do with who wins a war of attrition, which we're in. So getting a few F-16s or getting a few ATACMs, whatever, is never going to make the difference here. Even less a handful of Tomahawk cruise missiles, even militarily. Forget about the signal that they could send and the escalation they could cause, but just the fact that they exist there won't have any impact on the front, any more than the F-16s did, any more than the ATACMs or the Storm Shadow or any of that other stuff. All that stuff came, used on the battlefield, had no impact. This one won't either. But you see that Zelensky's thinking, yeah, but they used to tell me that the same thing. And then you see Trump also used to say this stuff. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And then he talks him into it. Nobody takes Trump at his word. Nobody thinks that whatever you said today means anything. So they're going to keep going down that path. And he's going to keep going. You can see that Zelensky thinks he's going to get it in the future. But here's the problem. It's not going to make any difference then either. Any more than it did when it got the F-16s or all those other weapon systems. It won't make any difference. Certainly not in the number that we're talking about here. Trump has even admitted that for a few times, but that may not stop him from giving them to him later on. I mean, he's done all these other things. Why would he stop there? And someone who is so famously impatient and just wants what I want right now. I mean, it's the same thing what we're doing with this whole issue of destroying the East Wing of the White House, frankly. you know, there was a right way to do it, and then there's a wrong way to do it. And he didn't want to wait for the right way. It takes too long. So I'm just going to like bring in a truck, a bulldozer, and just start ripping the building to shreds. Forget about trying to do it the right way. That's just one issue there, but that's indicative of how his mind thinks. I don't want to wait. I don't want to do it the right way. I want what I want, and I want it right now. That's how he operates. But where is this going to go then? What's going to happen here? President Trump wants what he wants, and he wants it now. That's fine as far as it goes. That works if it's the White House. That works if you, because you can just order a bulldozer to come in and an earth-moving equipment to just start ripping the building to shreds. You can do that. You can just tell your Treasury Secretary, impose these sanctions today, and you can do it because you have the power to do so. But whether that's going to have any impact and change anything is a radically different question, and one that President Trump, it seems, unwilling to acknowledge or answer. But it'll be answered for him, because I'll just tell you, none of the fundamentals have been changed here. All of the power dynamics remain irreversibly, irrevocably on the Russian side. It is still a war of attrition. However happy and glad of a face Volodymyr Zelensky has today, because, yay, we got a 19th sanctions package. I mean, just, you know, at some level, I mean, even these guys, don't they have to go 18 rounds before, had no impact on the front? And then now we want to say, like Scott Bessent did at the opening of this show, this is going to be the biggest one we've ever done, and this one will finally make a difference. This will force Putin to, quote, come to the table for a just and lasting peace, i.e. what we want. And we're going to ask the guy that has the power, the manpower, the industrial power, the air power, the drones, the armored vehicles, all of those things, more than the other side. We're going to ask that side because we want to put a little pinprick pain on them and cause them disruption and difficulty for their economics again, that somehow they're going to get tired. They're going to be impatient. Folks, that's not going to happen. There's no rational reason to believe any of that. So the most likely result of this is going to be the mere continuation of the war. And we have statements we can't ignore completely from Dmitry Medvedev today. He came out again and said, hey, this is an act of war. These sanctions that you're doing, especially if you talk about seizing some of these Shadow Fleet ships, that potentially could be an act of war. And I know when Medvedev says stuff, everybody in the West, in the elite world, just rolls their eyes like, that guy, he's just nothing but a blowhard. That's a dangerous thing to do. He has said a lot of things that are full of hyperbole, a lot of things that have not come to pass. But it is not wise to say nothing he ever says will come to pass. Because you have to understand, he says nothing that's not cleared by the Kremlin first. He's not a free agent. He can't just say what he wants no matter what Putin said. There's a reason why he's allowed to say some of these things. And you don't know when that point may come that he's like, this time that we're actually going to act on this. We don't know when that's going to be. And then, of course, we'll be watching for Putin himself. I haven't seen any statements that he's made so far. But we did see Maria Zakharova, so I'm sure it's going to be something along those lines, which is the same thing he's been saying since 2021. And so what we can expect to see is that the ground forces will continue on with their slow, very methodical destruction of the Ukrainian armed forces on the front line. You're going to see Pokrovsk continue to go more and more gun, possibly within a month, because they've gone through the hardest part of the cities already. So it's possible they could have it within the end of November, possibly even. They're certainly picking up speed into that. You have Kupiansk up in the north. You have Volchansk up in the Kharkiv area. So there's continued to make fronts all along. Zaporizhia has continued to see additional area. The glide bombs, I don't know if you've seen this, the glide bombs, Russia has made some improvements on those, and so now the range is extending out. Now then they're hitting parts deeper inside of Ukraine than they ever did before because they're figuring out how to do it. They're extending the range. Ukraine continues to try and block that with electronic warfare to make it less, and for a while they actually did make them less capable, but now, as is always the case, you have action, reaction, counteraction, and now Russia has figured out how to undo those changes, and now they're having success again. Ukraine will keep doing its part, and they'll probably figure out again how to minimize it again. But you see, this rotation just keeps going on. They have the bombs, they have the technology, and they have the troops, and they're going to continue to use them. Ukraine cannot win a war of attrition. Ukraine cannot survive a war of attrition. The pinning your hopes that a few sanctions will make pain points for Russia, or that it will force Russia to the table, you've not been paying any attention at all, and it's irrational to think Russia would do that. It would be crazy for Russia to do that. And if there's one place you can't use the moniker crazy, it's on the Russian side. You can hate them. You can think that they're evil and wicked, however you want to, whatever you want to say from your perspective. But what you cannot say, if you're being honest, is that they're crazy. They're very, very rational and methodical and thorough and detailed. They do pay attention to what happens on the ground. They do go three and four steps down, second, third order effects all the way through. And they calculate what they're doing. And their mistakes that they make, and there are plenty of them, but they recognize them, they stop doing them, they try something new. That's how war works ordinarily. And that's how this one's going to go. So President Trump is not going to be satisfied. Sanctions are not going to work. I don't know whether he's ever going to use the tomahawks or not. I certainly hope he doesn't. And I just pray to God that we get this war over with as fast as possible so that we get the threat of escalation off the table. Because as long as the White House and Brussels and Paris and London and Berlin keep taking these provocative actions and keep doing things that keep pressing the issue further with Russia with no chance of changing the war, they do have a chance at some point of provoking a bigger strike by the Russian side. And I just pray to God we avoid that, because otherwise all we're doing is setting up a bigger loss. And I'll say this again, because it's you've got to keep this on the front of your mind. All these actions that the White House is doing, all these actions today in Brussels, all they're doing is getting more Ukrainian men killed. Volodymyr Zelensky is the chief architect of the death of his country. It's long since past the time where he gets credit for trying to put up the good fight. That day passed long, long time ago. And so now he is a willing participant in the destruction of his own country. I don't care if anybody likes that or not. That is the cold, hard, cruel truth, because he will not do the only thing that makes any sense and bring this war to a negotiated settlement on the best terms that he can get, which are ugly. And instead of doing that, he's going to leave the only other path available, which is the physical destruction of his people and his country. That's the legacy that he will leave to his countrymen, however this war ends, whenever it does. That's all we have for you today, folks. I appreciate you paying attention here. I'll be back with you later on today, because there's also some things that were going on yesterday in Venezuela. And it's actually not just Venezuela, but in Colombia too. Things are getting a little bit more dicey in our own hemisphere. More on that this afternoon. Appreciate you guys. See you next episode on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.